Blog Talk Radio.
Is good for the soul. Got to erase some stuff, some pollen, all of that stuff. Boy, I tell you, I am glad to still be alive today. How about you? Today, we have a wonderful show starting out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We are going to be talking about local churches versus the independent gospel artists. And for those of you that are tuned in and going to be listening in, if you have any questions or comments, you can call in. You have the number. The number is 347-677-0645. And that's for everyone who wants to call in or have a comment to make on our subject. Today, I would like to start out with a prayer. We have our co-host that's going to be tuning in a few, which is Minister Derek Tuggle, Minister D. He should be tuning in soon. But right now we're going to start out with a prayer. Heavenly Father, grant us with the ability to use the gifts and abilities that you have truly blessed us with, to speak truthfully without vexing the Holy Spirit and others, and to be a blessing in every way possible. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, so we're going to start out with the Minister D, you in the stoop, Joe?
Yes, yes, yes. Members and friends, we'd like to welcome y'all into the house of the Lord on today. Amen, amen.
Okay, Mr. D, I didn't see you on the screen now. You must be here out somewhere.
Yes, I was just sitting here meditating on God.
Okay, that's what you say, that's what you say. Today, our subject, local churches versus independent artists. Houston, I believe we have a problem.
Yes, yes, there is a problem.
We have so many gospel singers that have went secular on us because of how they're being treated in the churches.
I've heard of it. I heard of it. I'm not talking about myself, but I've seen it happen.
I've been there. And talking about how they don't want to sing in the church anymore. So what's going on? I mean, is it the pastors, the choir directors, or the choir members themselves? I mean, what you think going on? What you think?
It's a combination of both. Mm-hmm. I have musician friends that they say all the time that they would much rather play out in the world and play, you know, in the secular arenas than in the church, because in the church they get so much backlash and have to deal with so much. One of the main problems they have is a lot of churches don't really like to pay the musicians accordingly. They feel like, you know, they ought to do it for the Lord and try to persuade them to become members. That way, if they become members, they can do it as a service. And it just gets to the point where they just start feeling like nobody should get paid for what they do, except for the pastor.
I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to figure all of this out. I mean, it's just tripping me out. Oh Lord, Father, many people, old and young, and they claim that they rarely listen to gospel music because there's not enough gospel music out there available. And the gospel artists, they sit in the back of the church, in the back, in the booth, in the corner, in the dark, while the R&B pop and rock and hip-hop artists populate the charts, do all of these different things. And I want to know, why is that? Where are all the gospel singers? Are they on TV, in the club, and on secular radio? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that the body of Christ has done is they fail to make it appealing to the singers, you know, the good singers. See, the world has the concept now. You know, they know that they have to make it appealing to you. They know that, you know, you need to be compensated for it. So they're basically providing all these things that you need and the things that look good. And then it looks bad to the church because the church should say, hey, brother, God bless you. Could you come and bless us on the organ on today? Meanwhile, the world will say, hey, man, I need you to come play this gig. I pay you $500 for if you come and play for an hour.
Hmm.
Now, which one sounds good to you?
Well, I got the word you just said.
I can't get no help in here. It's quiet in the house.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but what the main reason, now you know the main reason why singers turn to the secular music is because of money. You know this.
Yes. Now, however, it is a two-way street because now, you do have your independent gospel artists. They'll come and join your church. They're not there necessarily to have, you know, to serve and have the heart of the ministry. A lot of them like to use the church as their platform to promote themselves.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right, yeah. Right.
Oh, I didn't just go there, did I?
No, yeah, you went there. You got to go there. You see, on this show today, you got to go there. You got to go there.
So they use the church to promote themselves, to, you know, to put themselves out there. So now what happens is the pastor, whoever's in charge, got to shut you down because you done made it all about yourself and not about God. Oh,
my. See,
you know, you're trying to get your single out.
Mm-hmm. And see, these secular artists, they have historically done better financially than regular gospel artists, and even the Christians spend more time purchasing the secular music than they do purchasing the gospel music. So, with the large percentage of people that go to church, it is surprising to see and know how much support gospel artists even receive, or rather, don't receive.
Well, you know, the devil has his part in this too, you know.
It's really a fight. The word of God, and if you put the word of God, let me tell you something. In Proverbs 18:16, it says that a man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. The word gift here means a present, and we know the scripture teaches us that every gift comes from God.
That's right.
James 1st and 17th chapter, it states that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God gives us gifts and talents that would be a blessing to his body and to the lost. And God is no respecter of persons, and he will make room for our gifts, our talents, our ministries, just as he has done before. He will do it again. And this is what people have to understand.
Uh-huh.
We go into these churches and they want us to sing. You know, even when they do want you to sing, they'll call on you every 5 minutes to come and sing. They don't want you to say, well, you know, here's a love offering, or God has, you know, put this in our hearts to bless you in some kind of way. But they'll call constantly for you to be on this program, that program, this program, go over here, go over there, and they won't even offer you gas money or nothing.
Well, Globe, you know, on the street, you know what they call that? Pimping.
Pimping the church.
you pimping your people. You know, I guess I come from I'm cut from a different cloth. I believe that people should be compensated for what they do. Now, however, yes, there is a such thing as serving. There is a such thing as, you know, being a blessing to the people. But at the same time, your needs still need to be met.
That's right, especially in this day and time.
You know, this day and time, see, and you know, like I said, it's a two-way street because at the same time, you know, it's very important that you have a leader that's secure with themselves because, see, also what happens when you have an artist that's in the church, and especially if they're on the music ministry in the church, you know, things start to creep in, like jealousy and all this other kind of stuff because...
Yeah.
You have a good music ministry in the church. People tend to start coming because of the music ministry and not because of the words.
That's right.
So you know your church is packed out on Sunday because you know you got a slamming praise team. But then when the word comes, it shifts.
It shifts. They feel like they done been on a job. Everybody be out there sleeping. You know, they don't fell off. They ain't really listening to what the pastor's saying. They came, you know, they leaving early, got their finger up, going out the door, you know. It's like it's something off of, you know, like we selling something. Like we selling the music or something.
And that's what it's become. That's why I said the body of Christ has become so tainted nowadays. You know, everything is depended upon how well we were entertained. If you want a high offering, you want to collect a big offering. It depends on how well the music was that day. If the music was bad, the offering is not going to be that high. But see, all that stuff shouldn't determine how much you give. But that's a whole other subject. I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, what I'm hearing, and the reason why I did this segment today, because a lot of the gospel artists that I've been talking to, a lot of them have almost given up trying to stay in the local churches because they're saying it's a problem. And many of these artists singing secular music, they began in the church.
Right.
You see, and that's why, and then they when they start in the church and then they start singing out of the church, then and if they're very good, then they get picked up by these major record labels, and then they stop singing the gospel music and they start singing the secular music.
That's because they make the deal sweet.
Yeah, so a lot of them straddling the fence between gospel music and R&B. And
but
we got a lot of artists out there that started in the church. You know, such artists like Fantasia, Barbarino, Michelle Williams, Tony Braxton,
Dave
Usher,
Hollister.
Okay, Usher Raymond, Jessica Simpson. Now, all of these artists, they sang gospel, but now they switch genres.
But here's what happened, and this has always been one of the major issues I've had when it comes down to the secular artists that start in the church. When their sales go down and when they're no longer popular in the secular world, then that's all of a sudden when they get a revelation and say, okay, I need to come back and start singing gospel.
Like they're coming back to be refueled and to go back out into the secular world.
No, to me it's just sound like, okay, well, this ain't working, so let me just go back and see what I can do with this. Oh man.
Yeah, but they will come back and they get a following. As soon as they get them following, somebody offer them something else out there in the secular world, they're gonna leave again.
That's what I'm talking about.
But not all of the artists that I'm talking about now that started on the gospel and not famous in the secular world, no one would deny that these artists are exceptional, have exceptional talent. They have good talent.
Oh yes.
Okay, but why is it that they are not using their talent to glorify God? That was one of the questions, and I don't know what the church is feeling, you know, when they come back like that, back and forth like that. And it's just like anything else. When somebody keep doing something over and over and over, then you kind of put your guards up. Well, you know, I'm gonna let them stay in the choir for a long time just to see what they're gonna do. Without letting them sing at all, you know, far as being up front or on the praise team or whatever. So, I mean, that could be part of what's going on and why a lot of artists are feeling that they're not being used in the church. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yes. It's a very touchy situation because then you have, and I know several, artists that they do very well pushing their ministry outside of the church. And if you're not careful, you know, you run the risk of, though you may not do it intentionally, pushing your ministry inside the church as well as outside the church. You know what I'm saying? And not falling up under the guy and getting outside of the guidelines of that ministry that you're part of.
But now, see, that happened to me one time. But years ago, when I first started out getting into professional music, I was in the church. And what happened was I was asked to sing some jazz. And when I started singing the jazz, got a little famous out there. You know, I started being on television and radio. And the pastor of the church that I was going to a Baptist church at the time, he called me in and he said, "Well, you know, I have gotten word back that you're singing jazz and doing this and doing that." And I was also leading in the choir. So basically, they put me out of the choir.
Lord have mercy.
They put me out of this until I decide which what I wanted to do, if I wanted to sing jazz or if I wanted to sing gospel. Then I couldn't come back and sing the gospel until I wasn't singing the jazz. And I'm like, well, back then I didn't know a lot. You know, I was just doing me.
You was young in the gospel.
That's right. I was doing me. And you know what? We're going to come back and talk about that after we take a break and we go into a song. Oh, by none other but myself. The name of the song is For True off the Mind Thing CD. Check it out. Let's go ahead and run that.
You want to do a jazz remix version of it?
Yes, the true Lord. Yes, it is. For a true Lord. It has been you in my life. Lord, for all the toils and strife, for true Lord. When I was wrong, I insisted to be right, for true Lord, for true. For it was you, you touch my very soul.
praise the Lord. Praise everything.
Yes, praising
right now. Hallelujah. Well, we're back, and we were talking about the local churches versus the independent gospel artists, and we had some good news, I mean, things that we're speaking of, and I hope people are tuned in and they're listening and even join in and have any comments. You can please call in. But just to speak of, we have a lot of gospel artists that have gone changing their genres around because of the churches not wanting to be in the churches. And I don't, and some of them don't even want to say that they are gospel singers anymore. They just say, you know, I've changed to gospel R&B or urban gospel. I'm like, urban gospel? Yeah, this is all some new stuff to me. So what is urban gospel? Urban gospel, much like the southern gospel. It's like the urban gospel is like, okay, like the big-time quartets. Remember how the quartets used to be all males, and then they had a few female groups. The huge choirs eventually replaced the quartets in popularity, and then they became smaller groups that had started to be led by strong directors, something like Kirk Franklin. Big choir, and then he broke it down like what they call a big praise team somewhat.
Right.
And then the young fans discovered that the joys of the urban gospel and the genre added another facet to the form of the modern R&B sound. So now I've heard that urban gospel is what the older saints would call radical-type music.
Right.
Just getting buck wild on stage. They don't like that. And, you know, they say that's not God. There's no anointing.
Yes.
There. How we say it? That's not God.
Yeah, that ain't God. That ain't God. See, you got ministers of the gospel, then you got performers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the performers, you know, they go out to get a reaction from the crowd. Ministers, they go out and do what God told them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that way change will take place. Somebody get delivered, get healed. Somebody get a breakthrough. Performers go out for a good time.
Oh, Lord. Tell
it. I'm not going to preach that.
That's why they say ain't no anointing. And see, being anointed enough, you know, what is being anointed enough? Now, what they call anointed these days, I don't know.
And
I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans 11:29 in the New King James Version, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And in other words, what God has given in regards to gifts and abilities is irrevocable. It can't be changed. And even though God is the giver of the gift, it requires no relationship with him now. So now, what is the danger in all of this? People who live off of their gifts but never submit themselves to the giver, they're going to be cut off eternally.
Right.
And it says that in the Word. It says that in Matthew 7:21-23. And what Jesus said was, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name and done wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So this is what I'm talking about. What would you call being anointed enough?
Well, right now, being anointed is when you get up to minister, some change take place.
And you
change take place. People are, you know, people want to come down wanting to know how can they be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's anointed. Performing is just when you get up there and you jump around and cut a fool, and people just say, man, I like
that.
That.
You see a lot of that. There are a lot of that. Mm-hmm.
That was good. I like that. The band sound good, man. The band was killing.
Well, Ooh-wee. Well, I tell you what, we got some callers on the line that got something to say. I want to bring in this one caller here. Let me see. How you doing? You're on Glorious Gospel Vibes. How are you today? Hello? Well, they hung up. Okay, let's go to the next one.
You've got one more.
Hello, we're on Glorious Gospel Vibes. How are you today?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, good evening. This is Deborah Houston, and actually, before I say anything, I want to just thank God for being God all by himself. Then I'd like to thank you, Evangelist Globy, for showing up and showing out yesterday in the women's ministry in College Park. When you talk
all
about
right.
gospel singers with an anointing, you tore the house up.
Oh, thank you.
You blessed
very
a lot
much.
Of people in the house. The spirit was strong. An anointed person is one that the holy that is filled with the Holy Ghost. It's anybody that can stand up and sing a song.
That's right.
Anybody can stand up and sing a song. Mm-hmm. But what is the meaning of that song? You know, what are you saying? What are you saying to God's people? Mm-hmm. And are you
right.
really filling the Holy Ghost when you're out there singing? Is God
yes,
leading
Lord.
You to sing? Mm-hmm. Well, I can say this, sister. You showed what a true woman of God with an anointing that's been called to music to sing, you showed yourself very faithful yesterday. And I appreciate you coming out to support me. May God continue to you, keep, and bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You got me getting chills on me. Oh, my goodness. You know, and when something like that happens, and people call in or people, you know, pull you to the side and just tell you what you've done in their life just through a song. That's all God wants to hear. Oh, that's awesome. I want to hear that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evangelist. I appreciate that, you calling in and telling us about that.
Lovie, you can't be going over tearing people's church up now.
Well, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I got to do. I got to handle my business. My business is to preach the word of God through song. See, that's how I do. I sing the word of God through song. But that's the same. You know, that's the same thing that we are. We all have gifts and talents. And when I call myself an evangelist, I was a certified evangelist. But I don't know how to get up and preach like say Evangelist Houston, because I was at that particular event yesterday and she tore up the whole place. And see, I'm sitting there like, wow, I wish I could do that like that in words. And
well,
because
you know.
Today I said I did it in song, so it all fits together. That's how God operates. He fits everything together just like that. It's awesome. It's just awesome. Thank you.
Well, we all part of it. You got the preacher, maybe the head. You have the singer, that may be the neck. You got, you know, the other parts that makes the arm. It makes one body, and it all works together. But you know, you the problem nowadays, you have people trying to do their own thing, and that's what throws the body off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, it's just like, okay, say for instance, this lady, I don't know if you read about her. Her name is Shay Atkins.
Uh-huh.
You know, okay, well, she announced that she was leaving gospel music to embrace the secular realm. And she said that the church was too judgmental and she had to leave. Now,
well, okay, but now, hold on, let me stop right now. Let me turn around. See, we get these terminologies mixed up. See, we use the term judgmental, but what is really being judgmental? See, a lot of people term being judgmental as somebody just telling you you're wrong. That's not being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, being judgmental is saying, well, saying that you're, you know, like you're better than somebody because of their state or what they're doing. But a lot
yeah.
of people just being judgmental are just saying, well, I can go up to a young man and say, man, you know, you shouldn't do that, man. That's not right. oh, why are you judging me? That's not judging.
Right. They're going to say that. That's what the world say anyway. Even the world, if you're just carnal, and, you know, even some saved people say the same thing. So, you know, if you say anything against what they may be doing at the time, then you're judging. But what she was saying was that she had fans who loved her on one side and people condemning her on the other side, calling her worldly and pulling her to the side of, and saying that her hair color wasn't right and sending her mean letters. So in that way, to me, that is a little judgmental. I mean, you're talking about her hair, what she got on, you know, and it's not, you know, that kind of stuff is being judgmental.
Yes, that is judgmental. It is.
That's what she was saying. And see, now she's on her fourth CD, and the first three were gospel. Now she's turned the fourth CD. Now she's gone secular. But she's still talking about God and Jesus and spirituality in her songs, but she called them R&B. She said her new album allows her to be free, for her to be freely meant to be able to freely minister. I'm sorry, the way she feels that God is leading her without limitations. And although I love God, people, she said, I can't waste years trying to break this mentality and use that as an excuse for not doing what God told me to do.
Well, I mean, I understand, and I can understand that. However, you know, you have to understand when you are doing something for God, people are going to criticize, and ridicule. So that's, you can't say, well, I'm going to do secular music because they're judging me. No, you do what God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just keep doing what you do. When you know that as God has told you this, you keep going. That's what I do. I keep going. I mean, I've been told all kind of stuff, but I keep going in that because I know this is where God wants me to be. What people say about me and how they look at me or what they say about my hair or my clothes or whatever is irrelevant to me.
If you want to use that as your excuse to go sing secular music, then just go on and sing your secular
music. I still see, we have a caller. Where's that day? They just hung up. But anyway, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah,
we're going to go ahead on it.
Anyway, you just needed an excuse.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. We're going to go ahead on and bring in another independent gospel artist. We played him last week. I just love him. I probably play him every time almost that I be on the air because this song is awesome. And I fell in love with it. And it's called In Spite of Me by James Finley.
James Finley.
I love that song. Play it.
Where would I be without your mercy? Lord, I can't see how you still love me, how you love me in spite of me, how you love me in spite of me. Where would I be without forgiveness? Where would I be without your spirit? Lord, I can see how you still love me, how you love me inside of me, how you love me inside of me, yeah.
In spite of me, Lord.
Show me that you love
show me. Show me that you can.
Show
that you can.
Show
that you can.
Show
that you can.
You're
Yes.
In spite of people talking about me, in spite of them being judgmental, in spite of all of that, I continue in being what that God has placed in me, this special gift of song. I still push forward and do that which God has told me to do.
Yes.
Throw that out there. But I'm going to tell y'all, God has already spoken, and it's certain things that we are supposed to be doing. And in his word in Romans 12:1, it states that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Let me say that one more time. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what?
By the renewal of your mind.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Sook it now.
These are the things that we what did he say? God not playing with us. We got to do what we're supposed to be doing now. When we get before the throne of grace, and you know, we get there and we say, well, did you do so and so and so? You know, I was doing it, but what happened was when Sister so and so said she didn't like my hair color, and when Brother so and so said that my dress was just a little bit too short, he couldn't concentrate on my song, all that kind of stuff like that, I just couldn't take it. I just had to go and sing me some R&B.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because you wanted to go anywhere that, look, you wanted to go somewhere where you can wear your short skirt. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the church has some faults now. The church has some faults. You know, gospel artists who sing contemporary gospel music receive just as much criticism as gospel artists who have turned to singing secular music.
I heard one preacher say, ain't no such thing as a perfect church. They said, if the church is perfect,
no,
it was perfect.
That's right. Because yeah. ain't no such thing as no perfect person. You know, all the way perfect person, no.
It was perfect until you got there. The church is no longer perfect.
It's an ongoing debate that the gospel music is or supposed to be, or what it's supposed to be, or what it is. And some old school traditional Christians do not accept contemporary music as gospel. It would make one wonder then, what is the point? What is the point? That's the question. What is the point of singing gospel music when it brings opposition?
The church folks, they have
some gospel singers feel that they are just one of the rustlers. Sit back, shut up, until we say you can sing. And if these singers have a fire in them to go forth, and they are going to leave that choir, and they're going to pay attention to other things out in that world, and it's going to run them off. I've seen it happen so many times.
The church can hinder. Prime example: look at what the church did to the Clark sisters back in their early days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they practically wanted to shut them down.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they practically wanted to shut them down. They just felt like they would get too far out there.
But
a lot of that is not necessarily them getting too far out there. Most of that is jealousy.
Wow. And it's sad. The enemy, it seems like he always get up in the choir stand with a whole bunch of foolishness. He always get in the praise team with a whole bunch of foolishness. I always get in that group that can sing so good that they have people standing up screaming and hollering, he got to stop that some way, somehow.
Well, you know, Satan was in charge of the music department in heaven now.
He knows how to operate.
If you ever want to find some mess, get in the music department.
First, go there first. If you want to find out something in the church, go there first, right? Wow.
Yeah. See, you know, really what we as Christians don't understand, and this is just me personally, I think you have to be a there has to be a certain level of spiritual maturity when you get in certain auxiliaries. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not, certain things that you see and hear are going are will run you off.
Yeah.
You see what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So, you know, more of you are mature Christians, you know, they may see some things going on, but just understand that's just, you know, part of the package. You're gonna see some opposition, you're gonna see some things that are not right, you know, people are gonna gossip, people are gonna backbite and all other stuff. But if you're a mature Christian, you can keep your focus. Now you got the Christians that are not as strong spiritually. You know, you run the risk of running somebody like that off, or you run the risk of damaging them to where they say, hey,
right,
why put up with this? I can go out here in the world and say, and not have to, right. At least if I'm going to deal with it out there in the world, at least I get paid for it. Amen.
Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, it kind of happened a little bit to me in a little way, but I remember when you remember the song In My Name with Milton Bronson when that came
uh-huh.
out?
Yeah.
Well, the church I was attending, the person directing the choir at the time was a guy who had was a bass player, actually. And he was so holy and judgmental at the same time that he was no earthly good. Everyone wanted to sing that particular song, but he told the pastor that he didn't want us to learn the song or sing the song because it was not really God speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the song would say, in my name, you know, she was talking as if it was God speaking. So
right.
Since it was not God speaking, he did not want us to sing the song because it really wasn't God speaking, and it was blasphemous to him.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it ended up with a lot of the choir members leaving the choir, some leaving the church, just because of this one incident on one song.
Right.
Because the pastor didn't say anything about it or do anything or take any, you know, action against it, they left. And they were saying, maybe this is not the church for me. Maybe, you know, we got to go.
But
since the pastor didn't do anything
about it. You have to have somebody that's spiritually strong to endure that, that you don't just believe the church because of something somebody said, you know, something somebody did, because you understand there's a bigger picture here. It's not about them. It's not about me. It's not about you. So for somebody to run off after somebody said, I mean, think about it. Look how many people leave the church because of something somebody did or something somebody said. I mean, 80% of church growth is somebody moving from one church to another. There are no new converts coming off the street. It's just people leaving other churches. So it's safe to say we have a lot of spiritually weak people out here. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
There's a lot of them that's new. No. I mean, they're babes in Christ. They don't know, you know, they don't know the fullness of it all. So,
yeah,
I mean,
you
got to watch what you're saying, you know, to people, because you don't know how far they are in Christ.
Right. Yeah, you got some baby saints out there. So, yes, I'm not saying you do. You have to watch what you say. Watch what you do. So, you know, it's a process.
I know when I first joined this, and then I left that church after it crumbled, and I went over to join a church that I had been watching all the time, but, you know, it just wasn't for me to be switching church to church. But when I went over there, I guess one of the ladies that was over the choir, I don't know if she was over the choir, what height she was in the church, but anyway, she came to me and she said, yeah, I know about you. I heard about you, but I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't coming up in here trying to take over. How did she say? You say you're not going to come in here and try to take over because there ain't no big eyes or no little use. We treat everybody the same. And I was like, I'm looking at this lady, what is she talking about?
Most likely she wanted her main problem.
And I was like, what is this lady talking? It hurt me so bad, I think I cried for 2 weeks.
Not for 2 weeks.
I'm telling you, I cried every time I thought about it. I almost couldn't go back to that church. I had to really, and I'm glad I did, you know, because I went on back because that's where I met T.D. Jakes for the first time. That's when he was, you know, he had come to our area for the first time. But it was years ago. But I'm telling you, I missed that message. That was a message that changed my whole life.
Hmm. So you went to the church and the devil met you at the door, huh?
Met me at the door. Oh, I know who you are because I said my name. I told her I was a new member. Da da da. And she just came right off like, oh no, I know who you are. You ain't finna come in here and try to sing and try to take over the choir and all this kind of. I'm like I take over choirs. I was like, wow.
You didn't go back to the streets on it, did you?
No, I couldn't do that. I was too anchored in God.
You held your mule. You held your mule.
I held it. I held my mule. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it was a little different when I joined the church, you know. Thank God he delivered me. See, I joined the church because I was chasing some girl.
See, that's what a lot of people go to church for, right?
Look, tell the truth, shame the devil. See, when I joined the church, yeah. I joined because I was chasing some girl. But see, you know, God know what you like. Better yet, the devil know what you like and God know what you like.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Look, God used the girl to get me down. So what happened? I get to the church. I didn't even see the girl. She was sitting in another part of the sanctuary. And needless to say, after that, she didn't come back to the church no more, and I was there for the next 13 years.
Wow. Well, we got a caller on the line, God, that wanted to say something. Hello, Glory's Gospel Live.
Yes, this is Deborah Houston again.
Okay, well, God bless you.
Well, I wasn't going to comment on that judgmental thing because it could get kind of deep.
Okay.
But I will say that there are people in the church that are judgmental.
Yes,
there are people
yes,
in the church that the comments that they make, whether they are judgmental or not said with love. So you can't say what's on your mind as a Christian to someone else that you think is beneath you or not doing what you think they're supposed to do. Number one, you're not God.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You as an individual are not God. And if God allowed you to say something to that individual, then he would allow you to do it with the love. So those that are pointing statements and trying to tell people what they can't do, what they look like, what they can't wear, how they wear their hair, this, that, and the other, they need to check themselves.
Yeah,
they need to check themselves because they are not displaying Christian behavior. And as far as the choir and the devil meeting you at the door, if he didn't, he wouldn't be doing his job.
Oh, yes.
Okay, there you go. He's going to do it. He's going to do his thing. He's going to do it.
He's going to raise his old head up. But the thing about it, sister, what the devil did was he pushed you to another level.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, you put your foot on him, and then you kept stepping.
I kept stepping.
And look where you are today.
Hallelujah.
But I'm talking about look where he has you. Because every time
Hallelujah.
I see myself with an opposition coming up against me, I ask God, what is it that you're trying to show me?
That's right.
What are you trying to show me? And I get something out of everything I go through. All of my oppositions have been a stepping stone and a learning tool.
That's right.
We as a people are ignorant. We can be ignorant to a whole lot of things. And when you got people coming in off the street to try to get delivered from something that they're going through, and they come in and see more mess in the church than it is in the street, then my God, what's going on with the church today?
There are some people that are hurting, and yet you are so right. People come in the doors of the church hurting, looking for something, and you got people who turn around and run them off.
Yeah, they're at the door running them
because
off.
Because my clothes are dirty, and I might smell. I'm coming off the street, and I'm trying to pick myself up. I'm trying to allow God to pick me up to get to a place in here where I need to be, and you'll move over when I sit down.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a scenario. You understand? I'm sure you've seen it before. Or you'll turn around and you'll
frown. I've heard it before. I heard it on radio before.
Yes,
I heard it on
the
radio by a pastor that said that it came in his church with dangling earrings on, short skirts, and they had the nerve to come in his church and sit in the back. He was preaching this while they was in the back, and they jumped up and ran out the door.
Hmm. Well,
go ahead.
Oh my God, it's a shame. It's a shame how church folk act.
Yeah, I'm saying back in the days, you know, it was established that the older mothers would come to the younger women and the older men would come to the younger men, you know,
right.
In love. And say, you know, one mother would say, baby, let me talk to you. You know, there's a certain way you dress when you come into the house of the Lord. That's
yeah,
not
but let them join the church first.
You know,
church.
No, I'm not talking at the beginning, but, you know, just, you know, that's how you, you know, once you establish a rapport with them,
right,
you know,
right.
And pull them aside and say, hey, look here, young man, you know, pull your pants up when you come in. There's
that's
a certain
right,
way.
That's right.
Until the, you know, you don't beat them down and say, look at you. You're dressed like an old fast-tail husband. Look at you. You don't, you know, you, like you said, it's all in love, and it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Absolutely. Okay,
Go ahead.
I have one other thing. You know, the mothers of the church in the day, back in the day, they could see spiritually. They could see.
Yes.
They could see. A lot of the mothers in the church today, they're more concerned about their seats than seeing the spirit. Now, if you want to get deep, I want to tell you. I'm going to share something with you, and I'm going to tell you about an incident that transpired that broke my heart. There was a young man that came into the that went into the church, not once, not twice, but three times. And the third time he came in, you know, people noticed he was there, but nobody could see a spirit of suicide. He didn't go once. He didn't go twice. He went back the third time. Three times he went into that ministry, and not one individual in the church was strong enough in the spirit to pick up that he had a suicidal spirit. The young man left that church on the third time, went to his mother's basement, and blew his brains out.
Oh,
where was the church?
My God.
Wow.
Where was the church?
Mm.
We're doing more entertaining in the church than we are seeking God.
Okay.
But you know what?
Well,
sister,
that's what goes on. That's what happens. We got another caller coming in that wants to make a comment, and we got like 3 minutes to be on the air.
That's it.
And I would like to bring them up. But I appreciate you coming on, Evangelist Houston. Thank you so much. Well, I tell you what, every time I get ready to push this person in, they call. They hang up. I don't know what's going on.
But you know what? For that situation, you never know. A simple hello, a hug, a God bless you probably could have made a big difference.
Yes, right. You're right.
It could have made a big difference. That's why, you know, at my church, we always stress, greet the people when you come in. You know, a lot of times that helps. Hello. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. You know, give them a hug. You know, a lot of them hadn't been shown any love. And it makes a difference. What kind of difference it will make.
Well, I tell you right now, this has been an awesome show. I am so grateful for the people that called in. I am so grateful for what has been said so far. This is part one of the local churches versus the independent gospel artists, and we will have part two on next week. So I would like for everyone to tune in. If you have comments or questions, please call in and do just like Evangelist Houston did. You know, give your opinion so the people out there can hear, especially all the church people that have maybe made these mistakes in their churches. And let them know, because we are gospel artists, you know, we want to be a part of the church too. They say, you know, they complain about we don't take the time to be something in the church, you know, an usher or whatever. And then when we do, it's like they just push us about, say things about us, push us to the back, and never, ever, you know, allow us to be who we are. And then when we want to be who we are, we got a fire in us to get the word out. We're going to separate themselves and go forward. I mean, that don't mean that you go in the club. That don't mean that you go run off somewhere else. You stay right there. You stay right there and do what God told you to do. So we're going to tune in next week. Thank you for being on Glorious Gospel Vibes, Minister D. I appreciate you. We out of here.
Tune in next week. Musical artist Aaron Hurst will be joining us. Good evening.
Good evening. Good, good.